In public speaking, sometimes we struggle with the subjects, where they come from, how to do them. I'm sure Grant can relate to that. I want to thank you, Grant, for what you did and how you shared that, because it gave me, it let me know that I was perhaps on going the right direction. And another thing I'm going to be preaching, talking out of the book of Revelation, which is one of the most difficult books in all the years that I've spoke. I've never done a lot of stuff out of this book. I've tried different times, and it didn't work too well for me, and I'm not sure why I'm back there, because although, yes, I do know, I should say, let me see, about the fifth bench on this side, I think the Holy Spirit sits on that bench. So if you're in that bench, be careful, because it's no telling what you'll get. It happened to me about 2 weeks ago when I found out that I was scheduled to preach today. And I don't know exactly how this all transpired, except I do know that all of a sudden it was clear, and I opened my Bible, and it was Revelation chapter 12. So that's where we're going this morning. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, no, I don't think I want to do this, but there was no peace about that until I submitted to it. And it was a struggle, and I will tell you, it is a struggle. And as I would do that, since I don't speak often, I probably will be more doing awes and stammering than I normally do. So if I do too many awes, you put your hand up. And I'll try to detour off of that. It's not a good way to do public speaking, to mix too many awes. And the reason we do awes is we're looking for time. And I'm not doing that this morning. I do want to share with you a thought. There you go. See? Somebody put their hand up. Thank you. Oh, that was my wife. No wonder. There it is again. Whew. How do we change this? All right. There's a thought that I want to share with you called Sensual Wanderer. It comes out of Judges, the 14th chapter through the 16th chapter, and it was given by someone by the name of James McDonald. I'm not sure where I got this, but it's called Walking in the Word. And now, it has a little bit to do with my thoughts out of Revelation. Judges 14 through 12 is about Samson. This is how it goes. This is his rendition of it. It says, I want it, and I'm going to have it. It doesn't matter what it costs me or what it costs you. Think of all the seemingly harmless little indulgence that we like, that we want, and that we must have. Those desires don't always start bad, but allowed to take their course, they spiral to their destructive end. Desires turn to addictions, and before we realize it, we're consumed with whatever sensual pursuits we think will please us. Food, alcohol, sex, entertainment, caffeine, control, whatever we want, as much as we want, no matter what. If God's Spirit is shaking you awake in the trap you slid into, then you should wake up. Let's go to the book of Revelation. I'm going to be reading this. It is long, and we'll take what time we have to take. I already know that I'm going to run out of time, so I better be moving along, because I told my wife this morning, I think I've prepared too much stuff. Now I lost my notes, and we're in trouble. Quit shuffling things around, might be better. I want to begin reading in the 11th chapter in verse 17. Because the commentators think that this should be, and beginning with, actually should begin with verse 19, to should have been added to the 12th chapter. So we're already in a debate. The commentators never agreed on this book. There are many ideas about this book, and it has many ways to interpret it. So I'm going to give you what I've learned this morning in the areas of learning about it. Now, the objective of this is to make aware of our place with God and to identify the enemy against us, the church or the saints. So beginning with verse 17 in chapter 11, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to become, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." Let me stop and remind us that these are continued visions of John. Now, you go back to the first part of the book, you will read about how John was out there and was lonely, isolated, persecuted, water around himself, and was very sad, and God came to him and gave him all these visions. And that's what we're reading about. And it is said that this is an extended part of his vision that we are about to read and see. Chapter 12, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 7 and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, or heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, which was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent, which called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of the mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I find it difficult to read anymore. It's just not as easy as it used to be. I have to sort of help myself with that. But as I said, this objective is that we would... there I am again. Quit that. It's for us to know our position with God. And I'm not... Yes, I am. I am very sure that every one of us have trouble. We find ourselves dealing with things and struggling with things. I heard that in our devotions. Thank you for giving us that. And you're not different than the rest of us. You're not different than I am. I struggle with some of the same things. We just don't open ourselves to do that, to let others know where we are in our life. Now, these notes I have taken out of what is called People's New Testament Commentary, and you may not agree with them, and you don't have to. The thing about the book of Revelation, it is giving, there's a lot of latitude in where you are. I mean, if you are all millennial, you'll interpret it one way, and if you're premillennial, you go another way. So there are those kind of things that are present. You know, it's the latter days, talks about the end times. These are things that are in this book. One of the things I want to make us very aware of is that there are symbols that are, as you saw as I read this, it's very symbolic. A lot of symbols, so it makes it hard to understand. It takes a lot of work. I struggled really a lot with trying to do this, and my wife said, "Why do you pick such a hard subject?" I said, "Well, I didn't pick it. I'm not the one that's decided that." And so as we try to follow the direction of the Spirit of God, sometimes it's difficult, and yet He makes it, He will help us if we're persistent. If we stick with it, if we hang in there with it, and there are times we want to give up. We want to walk away from it. I do the same thing. I just like, why do I want to do this? It can be difficult. But the whole thing is in this particular scripture is that we do not walk away from it and that we do understand that we have an enemy. And the end of this lesson today is I will tell you that the devil hates God. And therefore, he hates all those who follow God. So keep that in mind as we go along. We begin with verse 1, is this woman. And the woman, it says, that was clothed with the sun. The woman, again, this is symbolic. The woman is the church. The woman is us. You go into the issues of where there's no way to talk about using all. You have to use it. I think we have to. There's no way out. You didn't even see that. You didn't catch it. Nobody put their hand up. You should. Anyhow. The woman is the church, always feminine, the bride of Christ. And it says here that John saw was she was clothed with the sun. The sun symbolizes the righteousness of the saints. I wondered, are we the type of church that does that? Are we the type of church that looks like the sun's shining here in the fact that we live lives that produce things and light like the sun? Well, let's move on. The dragon stands before the woman, indicating, again, symbolic but real, the fact is that the dragon is the devil, and he is against us, totally. There is no way to explain that any other way. I want to ask you this morning, when you think of a dragon, what do you think about? What kind of an image comes to you when I say the word dragon? Probably, if I would guess, you would think of something that's big, ferocious, spits fire. We only know what a dragon is by pictures we've seen. I've never seen a real dragon. I don't know if there ever was one. But it describes it here that the Satan is described as a dragon. That's just one of the things that they give names to him. But to me, when I think of a dragon, I think of an enemy. I think of something that I'm kind of scared about. I don't want to be around a dragon. I have no desire to be. It sort of reminds me of being around an alligator. I don't like to be around alligators either. They're just not fun. They give me the creeps. They look awful. They're slimy and slippery, and they have a big mouth, and they eat people, and I just don't want anything to do with that. Well, that's kind of what I picture with a dragon. It's sort of stupid, but it is. The dragon stands before the woman, tells me that he is against us. He stands and wants to get in our midst. He wants to get in our families. He wants to get in our lives. He wants to get where we don't want him to be, and we have to stand against him. And I've got to move along here. I'm going to skip some things because there's a few things I want to get in here. Verse 7, 8, and 9, it says that Michael, now who's Michael? Michael is the archangel who fights against the enemy. There's something that I think we need to be really aware of, the fact that who is it that fights for us? It's Michael. It says Michael and his angels fought the dragon. All right, there were three angels in heaven. There were chief angels, Michael, Lucifer, or Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Now, we know that they are. Michael was the fighter. Gabriel is the announcer, the one that announces all the things. He came to Mary and told her about her situation, came to Elizabeth and her husband. I think he was the one that probably talked to Abraham. They are the ones that did the announcing. Lucifer was the brightest. He was the chief of the great bright and shining star, it calls him. And he was cast out because of his pride, and he couldn't be there. And so we must be careful. So the fight comes with Michael and his angels who fight for us. It's a kind of interesting question. I want you to think about this. Did Jesus ever fight with Satan? Now, you may challenge me on this. I'm not aware of any. It kind of reminds me of years ago, I was doing revival meetings, and I made this statement that the Bible only tells men to love their wives, and no place that I know of that it tells women to love their husbands. I didn't make it to the door. So I'm ready for this. If you know something that I don't know, I'm open to it. I'm not that proud. I'll accept correction, because that was years ago and I never got over it. I'm still receiving correction. It's okay. But the question I have is, did Jesus ever fight as Michael does with the enemy? Now, he encountered the enemy. He was I'm going back to school and learn this language over. He was confronted with the enemy. He was always had a way of answering him. Maybe we should learn that. How that we should learn to answer him, because he always responded. Never fought. That's my opinion. Let me move on. He is accuser of the brethren. The persecution in verse 13 through 16, it talks about how that he persecuted the woman, and that was, there was a man-child. And by the way, the man-child, as I understand it, was Jesus, who came to rule the earth or the world with a rod of iron, it says. That's the interpretation of that, is that he came to help us overcome, to do the right things. Now we know that in verse 10, he is the accuser of the brethren. We've known that. But you realize this. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are in your walk with God, there's an accuser somewhere close by. He's just there. I don't like it, and I don't appreciate his presence. So how do I deal with that? Let me move on. In 13 through 16, it talks about the early church. Let me see if I can find what I want here. Okay, verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now that is interpreted to mean that in the early church there was this persecution. And Satan tried his best to destroy the church in that time. And guess what happened? And you all know this. The church became stronger and grew in numbers instead of being defeated by the enemy. That's the way that turned out. The persecution of the early church. It says that it was helped by the earth. Now, I think that's interpreted to mean that the earth was there because there was growth, numbers, and so on. They were not defeated, so. Now, the dragon, because of that, it is indicated that the dragon is wroth. Now, the word wroth has the idea of anger. He is mad, not just angry. The enemy, the dragon, which is Satan, is mad at God. He's not just angry, he's mad. When someone is mad, what happens? When someone is angry, it says, be angry, sin not, control your anger, do that. Therapy says, do something about it, don't make mistakes. Everybody gets angry, but not everybody should get mad. My dad used to say that dogs get mad, people get angry. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said. I believe there's some truth to that, that we have anger. We're going to have it. We have to process. We have to work with it. Anyhow, the dragon is wroth with the woman, so the devil hates God, therefore he hates all followers of the way, as I described that, which is the Christian. Now, in the Bible, they called them the followers of the way. So, are we followers of the way, which is Jesus Christ? The devil can be defeated. Now, I'm going to tell you that I am not one that has all the answers. I don't have all the victories that I might appear to have. I'm just as human as anyone, and I struggle with things in my life just as well as anyone does. But so my objective today is to tell you that maybe, just maybe I shouldn't use that word, but some of the things that we go through is the enemy trying to defeat us, young, old, whatever. Doesn't matter. The devil is out to defeat us, to make us quit, to get us to do wrong, to say things, to go places we shouldn't, whatever. That is his objective. Our objective is to stay true to God through Jesus Christ, who is the one that he talks about mostly in this. And I would like for our song leader, I know you probably have picked out one. Would you lead us in Jesus Loves Me? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's stand. God, it's good for us to be together. And I'm very grateful for the help you give us, the presence of your Spirit, and that you provide for us a way to live righteous and to live the way we're supposed to live, for you. I am glad this morning that you made a way for every one of us. Every one of us have trouble. We are experiencing things that are sometimes discouraging, difficult in our families, schedules, lives, things we're up against, things that we can't see through, and we don't know how to do it, and you help us. You've been such a good helper. We recognize you, God. And Jesus, we would say thank you for your part in all of this that you have done to bring eternal life to us, and that you brought to us the Holy Spirit, which leads, provides for us the avenues that we need to know. You're such a comfort to us, and you are wisdom for us. You're light for us. You're what we need to live the life of the Christian. And we would ask you to forgive us where we have fallen so short. We have made many mistakes, and would clarify this morning that we are only perfect in you, as you have said that we should be perfect in you as our Father. And we claim that perfection in you and the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our lives. Help us today in our journey with you and each other and as a church. Please help us as a church that we will shine, as it tells in Scripture that there was like the sun was shining. We want to be that church in this community that has some light that will penetrate and that will shine for others to see that it's okay and that you're here. We just thank you for all your kindness, love, and everything that you've done. And I want to give these thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.